Next Wednesday night, man, it's gonna get real up in this place. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna start for the next 3 months on Wednesday nights, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people, they come down on, in different places, as far as their attitude, their approach to the gifts of the Spirit. It is either seems something that is so elusive that only somebody that's mature, only somebody that, has been in the Word for a while, only somebody that's really close to God will be able to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit, by the way? I mean, what are we talking about here? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, what's interesting about that statement is this is probably one of the most the subjects that people are the most ignorant about in church. Here's Paul saying, you cannot be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So let me talk to you about those things. And yet for some reason in our churches, we don't want to even talk about it. And so the gifts of the Spirit have stayed as mystical, mysterious. Some have thought, well, that's something that was done away with the apostles, or it's no longer for the church today. And so there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding concerning it. But Paul's talking to a church. He's not talking to ministers. He's talking to a complete church body. And so what he says is that there are nine gifts of the Spirit that he talks about. He talks about a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He talks about prophecy. Just see if I can name them all. Talks about prophecy. Talks about a gift of faith that we can have. Talks about the working of miracles, gifts of healing. Talks about a discerning of spirits. Talks about a gift of tongues. And we're going to, and I'll talk about what's the difference between that and then regular, what praying in the Spirit is about. Talks about the interpretation of those tongues. And then I've missed one. What have I missed? What? Knowledge. Word of knowledge. See, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, faith, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and gifts of healing. That's nine. Okay. So we're going to start talking through those things because those are gifts that all nine of them are available to every single believer.
That's right.
Jennifer Crosby right here.
That's right. Jennifer,
stop it. She says, stop it. Jennifer Crosby right here, all nine gifts is in her and available to her right now. She doesn't have one that God said, I just want you to have this one.
Right.
I'm just using her as an example, because she likes to be used as an example so much. Because it says that the gifts come out of, as the Spirit distributes, it's as He wills. And what it is it's for whatever the situation requires. Guess what? If you're ministering to somebody, if you get the opportunity to talk to them and you find out that they're going through a difficult time, God can give you a word of knowledge. Hey, are you doing, what's happening with your marriage right now? Okay, well, that's not the time that you need the gift of casting out devils. They may try to apply that to their spouse, and that's not what we're looking for. You're looking for healing. See, so you can't just assume that you have one particular gift. The Spirit of God will flow through you. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about these things with practical application. And it's not spooky and it's not weird. It is for us as the body. Like, are you just content with just being saved and just having God meet your needs and just knowing that your eternity is secure? Is that all you want? Or do you want to experience the fullness of God? And do you want to experience everything that He wants you to experience right here, right now on this earth? Do you want to grow into Him? Because what happens is people that are just content or just satisfied, I should say, with where they're at in the things of God, what happens is they become discontent. So your satisfaction of what you know and where you're at will create a discontent at some point because you're going to start going through the same routine over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, the life that you had, and the joy that you had in the spirit, you know, your heart becomes hardened, and then you start wondering what's wrong with the preacher or what's wrong with the church or whatever, when really the problem is there's something that's wrong with you. You stopped growing. The joy that you get is in the growth.
Amen.
And in your continued discovery. See, what really has happened in my life, considering I grew up in the church, I grew up, hearing about different things. But what happened is, after a period of time, it became kind of the same message over and over and over again. Like there was a ceiling, there was a cap on what was being taught or what I was learning. Look, can I just say that? And so what happened is that created a discontent in my life, because I always knew instinctively that there was more. See, and so when God began to unveil His love and His grace to me, what I found is now I can be content in the journey. Content in the journey. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. So as we're kind of setting these things up, I just want to say, Alan, just be ready if the Lord gives you something kind of towards the end tonight, okay? So just be attentive about that. So as we set this up, I want to talk to you about a couple of things tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let's start there. So what's going to happen next week is we're going to, you know, for those that really want to go for it, I'm going to teach it from a scriptural standpoint, but then we're going to have practical application. You're going to have the opportunity to begin to hear the voice of God for yourself. And what we're going to do, I'll teach it via live stream. So, I mean, I'll teach it and the people on live stream can watch it. But then when it's time for practical application to actually step out, remember Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that we become mature as we grow up, as we, by exercising those things by reason of use. It's what you use that creates growth. It's not what you learn that creates growth intellectually. What goes in your brain doesn't create your spiritual growth. What you actually do with it is what creates growth. Thank you for all of those amens. You can quote every single scripture about the gifts of the Spirit, and you can quote all of that stuff, but if you're not operating in them, then you aren't any different than anybody that can't quote the scriptures. Hello? Guys, if you're looking for a church where you know it's all, you know, all up kind of in the air and just a positive message just to make you feel good every time, then you need to go find something else, okay? I'm going to make you feel good, but I'm going to challenge you. Because I wanted to be challenged. I wanted to learn more about the things of God. And when I did, and when I stepped out, and God's the one that challenged me in 2014... when I thought, man, I got a revelation of grace. I got a revelation of the love of God. I got a revelation of how good He is. Man, things are great. Life is good. And then God said, Mark, you're playing it too safe. Man, how would you like to hear that from God? Mark, you're playing it too safe. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm playing it too safe? The week before, we just had a prophet come in, and and that was a stretch for me. I took a step out, you know, and did something that was different, you know, for us as a church environment, you know, and I thought that was a risk. And he said, you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and you're encouraging people to flow in the gifts of the Spirit and to let me use them. He said, but a pastor has to lead by example. And I've called you to shepherd, which means you're going to have to demonstrate what you're teaching. Man, that'll wake you up, particularly if you haven't had that. See, what you got to know is, and we'll get to Hebrews chapter 13, but I really kind of want this as a setup for next week. I'm kind of setting you guys up, okay? Remember a few weeks ago I said, turn to your neighbor and say, it's a setup? Well, I'm telling you straight up, tonight's a setup for next week, okay? It's a setup. Also, what was the setup? The setup is ridiculous favor. Somebody say ridiculous favor.
Ridiculous.
Don't forget about that. Don't let that be one message that was a great message and you experience a little bit and then you forget about it. I want to talk to you about some of those things as well tonight. But I want to set this up for next week so that you know what your expectation is, so that you guys can be excited. So what happened was, is God in that moment. See, 15 years ago, maybe thereabouts, there was either, I can't remember the exact circumstances. One of two things happened. Either somebody gave a message in tongues, Spirit of God came, you know, and boom, there was a message that was given in tongues. And so I felt like the Lord had given me the interpretation of those. And so I got up and I gave the interpretation, and it was powerful and it was awesome. And not one word came to pass. So it was powerful and awesome in my own mind, but apparently it wasn't God. I'm not saying like some of it didn't come to pass. I'm telling you everything I said, none of it happened. How would you like to do that in front of a congregation? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
So do you know what I did? I completely shut down. I told the Lord, I said, I will never do that again. I said, because number one, I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to sit here. You know, look, anybody can get up and says, thus saith the Lord, this is a season of favor in your life. Whatever you're going through right now, I'm about to turn around and I'm telling you blessings about to come, and I can get everybody excited and all of that, and it would sound great and it would line up with the word, but that's really general, you know? And anybody could do something like that. So, but I always want to operate from integrity. I always want to make sure. I never want it to be, you know, just what I think. I want to know it's God. And so I said, God, I will not do this again unless I know that I know that I know that I know that it's you. And so guess what? God never used me for 15 years. You know? And so I was talking to a minister about this, and I said, you know, this was my experience. This is what I went through. What's your thoughts? I mean, you know, you've operated in the gifts of the Spirit. How does that operate a little bit? He said, so Mark, he said, what you're telling me is that you need to hear God perfectly, and he needs to use you perfectly for you to be used. I said, yep, that's what I'm saying. He said, well, then God will never use you. They said, because sometimes we don't hear perfectly. But see, I had a wrong mentality, and we'll get into the details of this, but I had a wrong understanding. I thought that, obviously, that if God wanted me to prophesy, that it would be so powerful and it would be so obvious that I could not miss it. That it would be absolutely 100% accurate every single time. But when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he's talking about in a church service, he said, you know, many of you will prophesy, tongues, interpretation, things like that. And he said, so let two or three prophesy and let the others judge. Well, if the two or three that prophesied couldn't miss it, why would it be necessary for the others to judge? Amen. In other words, we're going to take what is said, and we're going to see if that lines up with the word, and we're going to say, yeah, that's absolutely, man, we receive that. But we also are going to be humble enough to say, you know what, and be open enough to say, you know, perhaps what you are hearing, you know, doesn't line up in the way that it was said. And because prophecy is an expression of an image, I'm actually getting way ahead of myself because I'm starting to already teach you about these things. But keep this in mind: prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit, they are an expression of a knowing, of an image, of something that God shows you in a moment that then we get to communicate through words We get to communicate. So there's different ways that these things happen, and I'll talk all the way through it. But this is how sometimes you'll hear people prophesy from a kind of a perspective, you know, and because what happens is what they've seen and what they've experienced, they're now, it's being spoken through their filter a little bit, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we're going to talk about those things. Okay? So, it's going to be fun. And so the Lord said, it's, you know, you're playing it safe. I want you to lead by example. So he's asking me to step out into a place that I had fallen flat on my face before. And so I had to say yes to God. Can I tell you, and I say this to you guys over and over and over again, that my greatest growth, Jennifer's greatest growth in the things of God has been every time we've said yes. Every time we said, I'm going to go for it. Every time I get to step out with a new adventure. I get to step out into the unknown. Some of this for you is going to be unknown. It's going to be maybe a little bit frightening because you're about to try something and do something that you've never done before. And you have to do it in front of your brothers and your sisters. I had to do it in front of the whole church. You know, they're looking to me to lead, and I don't know how to lead in this area. But you know what I did? I knew it was God. So I said to God, I said, yes. That was the day in March of 2014. That was the day that I laid down my agenda, if you will, my pride, my reputation, you know, my feelings. And I absolutely said, God, you know that I'm going to make mistakes. And you know that there's a, you know, I'll probably mess some of this up. But you're asking this of me, and I want everything that you have for me. And I want to say yes. And, you know, I get emotional thinking about it because that moment of saying yes and that moment of laying aside fear of what other people would think. Think about this. How many times do we stop growing in the things of God because we're concerned about other people's opinions? How will other people see us? What if I do make a mistake? What will people think? That's what I had to go through as a pastor and thinking about those things. What will the congregation think? Will they all leave as soon as one prophecy doesn't come to pass? You know, at this point, it was about my growth with God. It wasn't about what people thought. And when I finally dealt with that in my heart and said yes to God on that Saturday that God called me here to pray, I announced to the church the next morning, I said, okay, this is what God said. And so starting on Wednesday night, we're going to learn what this looks like together. Now, instantly on Wednesday night, this was interesting, our Wednesday night crowd doubled. What I discovered is people in the church wanted to experience the same thing. They just never had an opportunity to learn about it. And so, you know, so instead of a few, there was a lot. So I get to try this in front of more people than I had hoped. But you know what? We taught, we had some fun, and over the next 3 months, it was the greatest period of growth. Even to this day, it was the greatest period of growth in my own relationship with God, in hearing from God. I learned what the voice of God is during that three-month process. And it's never changed. And now, you know, and I just operate out of it all the time, all the time, all the time. You know, and God just does it all the time. So I'm excited for what's going to happen in your life. I'm excited. I encourage you, if you're watching by live stream, you know, to come on out, be a part of this. Because here's the thing. You say, well, yeah, it's Wednesday night. Why can't we do this on Sunday morning? Because on Sunday morning, you know, I mean, everybody shows up on Sunday morning because it's the thing to do. But You find the ones that really are hungry for things. And I know for some people, it may be because it's dark and they can't drive at night. And I get that. And I totally understand that. And I'm not making light of that at all. But this is a time that, you know, on a Sunday morning where, you know, where we normally are doing teaching, you can't possibly with 150 or 200 people, you know, have that practical application, but you can do it with 50 or 60 on a Wednesday night, you know. And so anyway, that's just the way the Lord said to do it. It's the way that we've done it. So you got to get on out here. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So there's two things I want to talk to you about over the next 20 minutes here that I believe that's just going to be a blessing to you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, so much of our lives is centered around, or when I say our, I'm talking generally here in the United States, people in general, is centered around, you know, what can I get? Being greedy, looking at what other people have, looking at ourselves as we're in a place of lack and we want more. And so we generally think from a lack mindset, or we're need oriented. We're either need oriented, we're lack oriented, or I want more. Kind of. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says that the eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay? I mean, have you experienced that? Like, as soon as you finally get that either that new cell phone or that new television or whatever it is, or ladies or men in my case, you know, because I've kind of gotten into this shopping thing, you know, I didn't realize I actually have a problem, and so don't I, Tim? Tim found this out not too long ago. It's like we just happened to hop into a store and I wasn't planning on buying anything. And next thing you know, the guy that owns the store, and he was a really good salesman, because like he was so good that I had already bought things that I didn't plan on buying. And then on my way out, he said, "Hey, you know, I noticed that you were looking at that jacket. Why don't you try that on?" "Oh, no, no, I've already bought my stuff. At least just try it on." Wow. Well, Jennifer didn't help the situation, because I tried it on and Jennifer said, "You look good. You need to get that." Well, what do you do at that point? You just pull out the card and say, you know. Anyway, but you know what? When you find that outfit, when you find those shoes, when you find whatever it is, what happens? Are you then satisfied with it? Yes, I'm finally there. I finally arrive. No. It's, you know, you wear it the next week or two and something, and then something else catches your eye. You know, next year you bought that TV. The next year there's a whole new TV that's come out. Next year, you know, you got that cell phone. You think about these cell phones and how expensive these things are. And you know, but when the next one comes out, you got to have the newest, the latest, and the greatest. Amen. So here it talks about, don't live your life. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Why? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is awesome, because it's talking about a mindset. What's your mindset? Is your mindset that you don't have enough? Is your mindset that you need more? Is your mindset, you know, that that you're going to struggle? Is your mindset that you have lack? Is your mindset that you have needs? Or is your mindset that because Jesus is with you and that he hasn't left you, that you have everything that you need and every supply that you need? You got to change the way that you look at things. Let me talk about Abraham for just a moment. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. God himself shows up to a man named Abram and makes the most amazing statement to him. He said, get out of your country, verse 1, from your family, from your father's house. In other words, he had to leave the security of the region that he was in, the economy that he was in. He had to leave the security of his father's estate, the security of his father's inheritance, everything that he was, that he knew that he was comfortable with. And God said, follow me. And I'm going to take you to a place. Follow me. I'm going to take you to someplace greater, to a land that I will show you. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. You know, a lot of times God doesn't tell you what the destination is. He just says, go. He gives you your next step. Thank God that he just, when he called me to pastor, he said, I want you to pastor, but he didn't tell me what it was going to look like 7 years from then. He didn't tell me the things that I would have to trust him for and believe him for. He just gave me the next step. So like Abraham, we stepped out, going into a place that we didn't know where the destination was. And it has been the most amazing journey. And we've not even scratched the surface of what the Lord wants to do. Amen? He says, I will make of you, verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. Somebody say ridiculous favor. Ridiculous. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. And what if Abram said, no, thank you. I'm good right here. I'm comfortable right here. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And so what we find here is as he goes into the land, that he ends up finding himself, he journeys south into Egypt. And in that moment that he goes into Egypt, and I've talked about this before, but I just feel impressed by the Lord to reemphasize some things that I've talked about this year. As we look at this in the context of where we're going next week. He went into the south, he went into Egypt, and when he got there, there was a famine in the land. In other words, he could have been like a lot of Christians and said, okay, God has said to go, and when I go there, I'm going to be blessed. And looks at the destination as the source of his blessing. We can look at our job, our promotion. We can look at our business. We can look at, you know, what the direction that God gives us to go and think that that destination, that there's where the blessing is when I get there. But Abraham got there and there was economic downturn. There was economic recession. There was economic depression. Nothing was working for anybody. There's a famine in the land. But see, Abraham wasn't going there looking for it to be his source and looking for the economy to be his source. Abraham, the blessing of God was already on him. And so actually, Abraham was Egypt's solution. He was the blessing walking. So see, the blessing just traveled with him everywhere that he went. We have to have the mindset that wherever we go, doesn't matter what's happening around us, we're already blessed. Everywhere we go, like when you walk into a place, you get a new job, you get a promotion, you go to another division, you walk into that place with the expectation and the understanding that because I'm here, you guys are blessed. Now, you don't have to tell them that because they're like, oh, you think you're all that kind of thing. But you got to kind of go in, you know, like if they start saying, you know what? Hello. Yeah. If they start saying, our division might be cut. We might end up, being shut down. Or they start just saying, we're not going to make our numbers this month or that kind of thing. That's where you need to step up and say, no, listen. We are blessed. We are blessed. God's going to bless us. We're going to have the best quarter. We're going to have the best year that we've ever had. Yeah, but this people, like you got to change the outlook and the image of the people around you. Okay? So many times Christians will stay silent because they don't want to be labeled the crazy one. And so what we'll do is we'll just stay in our silence and we'll just be like, okay, well, you know, I don't agree with that. And so under our breath, we'll say, no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And I don't, you know, and we'll, you know, and we'll kind of do our cone of silence because we don't, no, listen, guys. Confidence, knowing who is with you, knowing that you are blessed, knowing that everywhere you go, the blessing of God. The Bible says we're ridiculous favor, right? We're compassed about with favor as with a shield. And it gets even better than that. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Like, it doesn't make any difference where you are. So many times we think that the blessing of God is there as long as nobody's, you know, if somebody's mad at us, if somebody's bothering us, like, okay, Lord, let me get through this so I can experience your blessing. Let me get through this so that I can experience peace. No. Listen, peace isn't based on what's going on around you and what's going on in your family or what's going on in your job or what's going on in your life. Peace isn't based on the circumstances. Peace begins from the inside. You got to emotionally, your emotions and everything's got to be rooted and grounded in what Jesus has done. It's got to be rooted and grounded in his goodness to you. It's got to be, you got to live with this understanding that he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My God, when you've got the creator of the universe living on the inside of you, that everywhere you go, his life is there. His blessing is there. I'm telling you what, when you live with that view, when you live with that understanding, when you live with that outlook, you can't stay silent.
That's right. That's right.
But when you're not sure, when you've lived without a, you know, without boldness, when you've lived just kind of concerned about other people's opinions instead of what God has said. Christians have, unfortunately, been kind of bullied into staying silent. Our culture has conditioned us to stay silent. Fear of man has conditioned us to stay silent. You can't reign in life the way that God intends for you to reign in life by staying silent. Because the fact of the matter is we are the body of Christ that is meant to expand his reign and his kingdom. Amen. You are a kingdom carrier that is meant to affect those around you. See, all of creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. That's what Romans 8 tells us.
Amen.
So Abraham went into Egypt with this confidence. I'm blessed. Now, he didn't get it all right. You know, He was afraid that the Pharaoh might kill him for his wife. And what I love about this story is this is what I want you to see, is Abraham lied. Abraham, like, if I mean, think about it. What if you heard that I went to a place and I was so concerned that I just said, you know what, here, you can have Jennifer. You know, because I was concerned for my life. I mean, let's bring it down. We think about these stories and sometimes we don't bring it down practically. But think about it. If you had heard Pastor Mark gave Jennifer to this businessman or something because he was afraid for his life, you know, and then lied about it and all that kind of stuff, it probably wouldn't reflect well on me.
No. Probably.
Probably, you think? The mighty man of faith and power. Am I making an impression on Jennifer? Yeah. But you know, here's the thing. God delivered Sarah not because Abraham did everything right. God delivered Sarah because God had made a covenant with Abraham. In other words, this was an unconditional covenant that God had made with him, said, I'm going to bless you. It was a covenant of grace is really what it was. It was a covenant that wasn't based on rule keeping and based on, Abraham keeping certain laws and things like that. It was simply a covenant based on the goodness of God. God chose one man and said, I'm going to bless you and then in your seed. Now we find out in, let me see if I can kind of rush through some of this. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you to see this for a moment. In Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 6 that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons or children of Abraham. Here's what I want you guys to see for just a moment. Sometimes we'll talk about the difference between new covenant and old covenant. We'll talk about the new covenant that's in Jesus Christ. And then we'll talk about the old covenant that came and the law that came through Moses. But sometimes we forget that there's another covenant in place. And that's the covenant that God made with Abraham. Do you know that God never did away with that covenant?
That's right.
Do you know that that covenant, that agreement that God made with Abraham is still in effect today? Okay? And guess what? I don't become a recipient of that because I am born of Jewish descent. That covenant was a covenant that was based on God choosing and it was based on the promise of God. And the only way to be a partaker of that is to be the offspring of the one that the covenant was made to. Check this out. Isaac, God came to Isaac and said, I want you to stay in this land. There's a famine in the land. And because of my covenant with your father, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. God had told Abraham in Genesis 17, he said, I will make my covenant with you and your seed in their generations. Okay. And so what he did is, generation after generation, God said, because of Abraham, because of Abraham. Isaac was a recipient of the blessing of God, not because of what he did, but because of the family he was born into. He got the blessing because he was Abraham's son. He didn't have, the only thing that qualified him for it was the fact that he was born. Be like Prince William or Prince, what's the other brother's name? Prince Harry or whatever. The only reason they're princes is because they were born into royalty. I had nannies and all of these things and all of these amazing stuff. And, you know, people's like, man, I wish I was born into something like that. That would be amazing. Like they did nothing to earn everything that they got. Isaac was the same way. Know therefore, those who are of faith are sons, are children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, qualify, make righteous, all of those things, the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Ooh. Okay, get that, man. Come on. How much was Abraham blessed? He went into a place that there was famine. He went into a place that he thought the king was going to kill him. But just because of the blessing of God that was on him, he came out, you'll find in chapter 13 of Genesis, with silver and cattle and gold and all of this stuff. Like he may have gone in there with nothing, but in his mind, he went in there with the blessing of God. Guys, it don't matter where you are in life. It don't matter if you've gone through bankruptcy. It don't matter if you've had to start over. It don't matter what you've gone through. Here's the truth of the matter is, God is with you. You can be content, right, coming out of bankruptcy, coming out of your problems. Be content right there starting over because God is with you. And he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And the blessing of God that was on Abraham, he says, you're just that blessed. Just that blessed. Amen. I'm loving this. I don't know if you are, but man, this is a blessing. Verse 10, for as many as are under the works of the law, they are under the curse. So when you're trying to do right to be blessed, you have just set yourself up to not be blessed. Like, your heart may be right, your integrity may be right, but those that are trying to achieve God's blessing through their performance, actually, you are going to experience the opposite. How frustrating is that? For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written therein. He says, but that no one, verse 11, is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For, he wrote, the just shall live by faith. The righteous live a life of faith. It's a good name for a church. Yet the law is not of faith. You don't take faith to believe the law. You don't take faith to do the law. You just do what the law says. You don't have to believe anything. You just do it. Christ, verse 13, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing, here's the whole reason why Jesus came. Check out. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And this is what I want you to see. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Everything that God did, he spoke to Abraham. Now, this chapter goes on to tell us that when the law came to Moses, it could not disannul or it could not cancel out what God said to Abraham. Because here's what's happened. God said, in your seed will all nations be blessed. And he explains that he was talking about Jesus. And so the promise, oh, you're going to love this. The promise was to Abraham and to Jesus. And so a law couldn't come in that could cancel out the promise, the eternal promise that God had made to Jesus. Now we find out as we go down, it says, then if you are Christ's, if you're, so what happens when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, when you receive him, what happens? The Bible says we are born again of an incorruptible seed. You get born into a family, just like Isaac got born into a family, just like Prince Harry and Prince, what's the other one? What? William. You can tell how much I read the news. Just like Prince Harry and Prince William got born into a family, you got born into the ultimate family. You got born into Christ. And so everything that he is and everything that's available to him, it is you as well. You, as many as have put on Christ, it says there in the last part of that chapter, as many as put on Christ, they have become Abraham's seed. Because you're in him. What you've got to recognize is that the promises of God, and look at it this way, the covenant that God made, he did not make with you. The promise isn't to you. The promise and the covenant was a covenant that he made with Jesus. That's the reason why our performance, Prince Harry and Prince William could mess up, could do everything that they wanted, but they never stopped being part of the family. They never stopped being royalty. You've never stopped being royalty. The day that you got born again, you were born into a family. You were born with rights and privileges. You were born with a blessing. You were born with a favor that surrounds you. You were born with everything that your Father wants you to experience. But if we don't believe that, if we don't, you know, and honestly, how do you know if you believe it or not? What are you saying? What are the, what comes out of your mouth? What are the things that you talk about? What are the, how do you approach things? How do you act? Those are the great revealers of what's going on in your heart. And so what you need to do is allow yourself to just embrace these truths and start, you know, declaring, man, I am a child of my Father. I am, the Bible says we're kings and priests. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. We are royalty. You need to start thinking of yourself as royalty. And that's not like a make-believe imagination kind of thing. It is a truth. And so as you embrace that, as you believe that, as you begin to live out of that understanding, content in the journey, content knowing that God's going to take you into more. There's more and more of a discovery. But I want you to notice that part of that blessing that God wanted to happen to you was that you would receive the Spirit by faith, that He could send you the Holy Spirit, who is the one that is applying the finished work of Christ into your life. He is the one that is revealing to you everything that has been freely given to you by God. He is your assistant to lead you into your inheritance. And part of that is now you get to manage the family business. Part of that is now He gets to flow through you through the gifts of the Spirit. This is what we're going to get into next week. So you come into this place not with fear and not with trepidation and caution, but you come into there saying, you know what? I'm royalty. It's time for me to step in and start experiencing my inheritance. And inheritance isn't just about how you're blessed. Inheritance is how what God has done in your life begins to allow you to bless others. Abraham was the answer to a land in famine. Isaac was the answer to a land in famine. Guys, you are the answer to a land in spiritual famine. The blessing that's in you should be expressed through you. Amen.